Here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I've got Jonathan and Renee Harris. So I've got a married couple, and we're going to learn a lot about their two businesses. One business kind of started as a side gig, side hustle. And due to a layoff, it became a full-time hustle, which then evolved into another business that they're in. The really cool part about this is they involve their kids in the businesses from the very beginning, and I think you're going to learn a lot from them. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just one second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Jonathan and Renee, how are y'all?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Glad to have you on. I'm looking forward to telling your story. So let's just kick that off right away with tell us your story. How'd you get to where you're at today?
Yeah, I started off in the corporate world after college. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, it seemed like the whole world was sucking all young adults into the computer world because it was just before the .com. And so that wasn't my original intention, but I was happy with the way things went to put food on the table. It was very far from my original passions and interests in life, but we were happy with it. Fast forward, eventually, you know, the computer market matured and I was in the type of field where I knew eventually I was going to be laid off. And in order to stay in that field, it was project management mostly, I would have had to move from an area that we really fell in love with and go to places we didn't want to. So that's when our big turning point came, when you mentioned the layoff. We knew it was coming. Yeah. And I saw other people ahead of me, what they had to do in order to stay in the business. They had to be on the road 2 weeks out of four or 3 weeks out of four. And we had our kids just coming up into the teen years. And we were like, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah. And so that's really what took a husband and wife to say, are we going to make the leap and turn her small testing market thing, farmer's market into a business? And even now looking back on it, wow, that was a leap of faith.
Pretty bold.
That was a huge leap
and,
of faith.
We did do it.
You're not making much money out of this business. No. And all of a sudden, hey, this is going to be our primary breadwinner at this point.
Yeah, we had a vision of what we wanted to do. And so that gave us the courage. That was part of it. Gave us the courage. I did cash out my 401k, you know, that I had from the company. So we put everything on the line. And we felt we had a good product, too. So we weren't just doing something crazy. But it was the beginning of the blog revolution. And we were in that. And that's what helped us make our sales through affiliates with people. So those were the early days for us.
And now,
so Renee, kind of explain to us how you, so what was the original product? And then explain a little bit about what we were talking about before this, of how you kind of involved the kids in that initial launch.
Yeah. So while we were happily living our, you know, dad worked from home, he had been at the same company for 10 years. At the time, I believe we had six kids. We now have nine. And I was homeschooling the kids, but also trying to figure out the best ways to save money, you know, so I pretty much learned how to make everything, bread and yogurt and, you know, just a lot of the family foods that we could do from home. In the meantime, I always struggled with a super dry skin, like when you get those cracks in your fingers and heels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was my big issue. And I had found out about this product via another farmer's market that is called a lotion bar. And I had never heard of that before. So I had to go figure out what it is, how to make it. I was kind of dabbling with making soap. So I kind of knew a little bit about working with oils and butters, but not a lot. And so I found a recipe in some forum, tried it at home, and it just did wonders for my skin. So that's just that was the beginning product, which never we had never intended to make it into a full-time business. But then a couple months later, I was just amazed at how well it worked for me. And then my son, who had mild eczema, seasonal eczema at the age of 12, this just worked for him too. So a few months later, there was a farmer's market opening in town, and they were looking for vendors. And I thought, well, that could be fun. Let's go try that. And because we homeschool, we try to find ways to involve our kids in what we do. And I took my 8 and 10 year old with me at the time. I made cute little shirts that they had to wear. And I said, you guys are going to hand out samples. Make sure people don't eat it because it looks like cheese. So we were out at the farmer's market, and that was really our chance to find out about selling. I had no experience. That was not my background. But we enjoyed it. I was surprised how much I actually enjoyed being out there talking to people, finding out what their issues are, and they would come back to buy the product, which blew me away. So that we then turned, by then, I think the handwriting was on the wall about the business, about where Jonathan was working and there could be a layoff. And they were starting to take away some of the expenses that they would normally cover, that, you know, like a cell phone and all that kind of stuff, printers. And
that's the beginning of the end right there.
Yeah, it's like, okay, those are the
things away from you. Yeah.
Right. So we needed a little bit more income. We decided to take the farmer's market idea and take it online into an e-commerce business. And that's when, fast forward to what Jonathan's talking about, I think within a year, we are starting to work with mom bloggers. So they would try the products, talk about the products, and tell their audience. And then that's how we ended up starting to build an email list and have customers that way.
Yeah, these were the bloggers at the time. The reason why it was easier then, I think, to break in. It's a little harder now to break in cold. But at that time, when these people were blogging, they were very niche. They had a very strong following for very specific tribal authority reasons. So when they recommended something, it was trusted. It may be a little more difficult now, but at that time, that definitely was very new. Fresh stuff was coming on the internet, and we rode that wave in the beginning. It changed over time, but that's really what got started.
But since we saw a little bit of traction with that, then I remember I was pregnant with number 7. She was due in November, and then December, we find out he's laid off. It was this is a bad timing.
Next year is going to be fun. Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, you know, we had to decide. And so we decided together that we would just go all out and make it happen. And so that's what we did.
Love it.
That was behind us, and we went forward with it.
Well, and I'm guessing, kind of combining the two of you, you're the innovator, and I'm assuming Jonathan, you're the project manager. So it's like, okay, let's get this thing. Yeah. Let's get it all moving in the right direction. And
perfect. Very difficult though, at the same time, because, you know, husband being the breadwinner, and then I have this little side gig, and then we have to figure out what our roles.
I think that was different working together as a husband and wife. And I remember that originally, this is great. I like writing emails. I'll write emails to our customers. Uh-huh. The first few, my wife checked and said, you absolutely cannot talk to women like that. And so I was like, not like I do in the corporate world. Very, very different tone. So we had to exchange roles.
Okay.
And she had to learn to be the email marketing, which she is. She is very good at email marketing, but it was definitely something she had to learn over time. But she had the voice. And so we had to learn that the customer obviously is king, and they want things in a particular voice, not in a corporate voice. So those were some things we had to do some massive adjusting
with. But I mean, it's reality. I mean, I work with my wife as well, and so I can completely relate. You know, it's like each of us has our talents, and, you know, it's like we had to kind of jigger around. I mean, my wife is an absolute genius with organization and all that, and I'm the sales guy. So, you know, I'm like, just wing it. We'll figure it out. And that just doesn't work for her. So it's like, okay, we figured out who does what, and, you know, let me handle some of the marketing stuff, because that's what I do best. And you deal with the operational piece of it and running the show. And she gets her little creative stuff as well with some of the marketing and satisfies that part of it. But yeah, I think it's absolutely true. You got to figure out, okay, who does what best, and who's going to do what best for the market that you're dealing with. So,
yeah,
very cool. Exactly. So you kind of went along and then decided to mirror some of what you'd been doing, I guess, in the second business, correct?
Well, the second one, we're not making really an income from it yet.
That's fine.
So this is something that, that's I had next revenue documented course. From.
That's our retirement revenue.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what we had done at that time when we were going through these changes, also, we were coming to the realization that we were on a, we were going to, and it's popular in the homeschooling world and some other type of educational worlds where you accelerate to get into college early, which you can do. There's a pretty proven path for doing that. So we were on track to doing that, but we realized, oh, wait a second, they'll just get there faster as I was. And so lined up in the same way. So we got to think, was there a way we could do something better? And at that time, as, and I still enjoy a lot of the self-help books on the market, you know, that encourage you to take more control over your career and organization and long-term vision, which I think they're all fantastic books, to be honest. But as I was reading it, a lot of them would say something to the effect, if only I had known about this when I was younger. And most of us start reading this when we hit that wall or that ceiling, whatever it is. But, you know, if you're already 20 years in, you can't go back in time and change your early education. So I'm going to start practicing some of these principles on my kids when, you know, starting at the age of 12. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to blog. Again, that blogging world, it was a big thing about blog as you learn. So I was, some things worked, some things didn't. And eventually we came up with a system for turning all their education, that we actually do some formal textbook style learning, plus what Renee was talking about, she'd take the kids to the farmer's market to learn, you know, business concepts. But we made it much more coordinated in terms of fitting our kids' sort of natural talents, but turning their passions into actual marketable skills. So we have this long runway during their teens. So by the time they leave home, they can sustain themselves in that same lane lane without having to exit. So we've seen a lot of people who may have marketable talent. So I don't mean just sports and music, but actual real talent. Then have to abandon it because they have no way to sustain it when they're still at the lower ends of the market. So, you know, they'll give it up when they go to college. So they become, you know, sort of like what I call, you're being averaged down to the mediocrity level, back down to the median. They lose all their different abilities, and then they remember in their glory days. So we said, we're not going to do that. We're going to discover it, work with it, integrate everything into it, and I'm going to document it. And that eventually gave name to Parent Their Passion. So we're pretty excited about telling other parents that you can leverage, you know, your home environment. And if you have your own business, you can incorporate them into that as far as giving them a chance to work it out.
So yeah, an example of that, when Jonathan got laid off, our oldest was 12. And he had some interests that we, you know, and Jonathan taking on more of the role of teaching. He had seen how I was a high school teacher before we were married. So I thought, I got this, you know, I can homeschool, no problem. But then you realize once you actually start homeschooling, you have a lot more freedom to do other things. So that's when he stepped in and said, wait, let's just completely flip this over. So we have a 12-year-old who's interested in, at the time, photography. And so, you know, he could have said, I want to go join the soccer team or whatever. But we decided, okay, let's look at this long term, what's going to be the most useful. And starting with photography, he had that a little bit of a skill set.
Okay.
I, with now having products online, needed a photographer.
There we go.
So there we go. So here we were giving him the opportunity to
learn. The beauty of having a big family. Everybody's got some talent and I don't have to pay you anything. Exactly. So, okay, this is great.
You'd be surprised what a bag of Doritos will do for kids this morning, you know? Or in the game time, whatever. Yeah. So he would do some, he actually went to the camera shop and he was young. So he went to the camera shop. We had a camera given to us by a family member. And we said, you know what, go figure out, we need a light box and you need to figure out how to take the photos. So, you know, what kind of lighting, we'll buy what we need to buy, but you need to learn how to do it. So he just having a young person speaking to any expert, just the expert is going to give that young person a ton of time if the kid is showing some interest. They will pour into that kid, which is exactly what happened. And he came home and he told us exactly what we needed to do. And he knew what to do. And so all of a sudden now he feels important and he's doing something useful for the family and the business. And, you know, especially we didn't have a lot of resources to go let him do whatever he wanted. And even with the prices of equipment, and that's one thing we've learned along the way, is whatever the kids are very interested in, you have to supply the opportunities or look for the opportunities for them to build that and grow that. So each one of our kids.
Well, and I'm assuming that that camera shop owner too, it's like, okay, I got some extra old equipment or something like that. I'll give it to you at a really good price because you're showing interest and I'm mentoring you.
That has happened a lot. In fact, our second born son, he got into bladesmithing, which we didn't need that in our business at all, but that was his passion, his skill set. And over time, he was able to actually build and make knives and then used Instagram as a way to build a following. Learn. We always have them blog.
Super cool. They
have
he sold a lot of knives.
He sold a lot of knives. They have to. That was his portfolio, which got him his first job when he moved out. Was because it was for a knife maker who saw years of experience. Because every step of the way, he's showing what he's making.
You don't get too many 18-year-olds that have got a 6-year portfolio of stuff.
Exactly.
That they've done.
So that's how we.
or that even thought to record that.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. But that's kind of what we realize with kids. They want to be noticed. You know, they want to showcase their stuff. It's a little bit cringy, as the kids would say, on our, you know, have to watch some of that sometimes because we're like, oh, you know, but you just have to let them do it. And as parents, the best time to be able to train your kids how to use social media and is to be while they're still under your roof instead of launching them out. And then, you know, they get this shell shock of that. So,
well, but I think the other part of it too is you're giving them a realistic look at social media. Because the look at social media that they get, and it's so funny because I work with a local incubator and, you know, part of their, they use the lean startup methodology and all that, which I agree and disagree with quite heartedly, because I don't think it really looks at realistic businesses. You know, it looks at, oh, how to start these businesses that you're going to sell for billions of dollars when, you know, the vast majority of businesses are like ours. You know, we're maybe going to make a couple million dollars a year at best, maybe a little bit more than that. And, you know, we may or may not sell it at that point in the end, but it gives them a realistic look at, hey, if I put this stuff out on Instagram, I'm not becoming an influencer. I'm becoming, you know, I'm putting out really interesting stuff that people want to buy.
And it teaches them exactly that. Like what are people interested in?
Yep.
What also it would attract the attention of real experts, because they would tag somebody or ask questions in somebody else's account. And so other experts that are way ahead of them, seeing them as a young person, our second born, Caleb, he would get like pieces of metal shipped to him because these guys love that he's out there, you know, for free. He gets all this free stuff.
There's a lot of socialization that goes on. Yeah. That's an aspect that, you know, with parents, sometimes they wonder, oh, I'm going to isolate my kids. So, you know, unless you're into one of the big like football or soccer, where everybody's doing that because it's actually part of the public school system. But if you're into something that's a little more niche, I think one of the concerns subconsciously that parents have is like, I'm going to create a socially awkward person. No, not if you allow that talent to go full blast, because if you do, you start bumping into other people that have the same passion and their socialization, the vocabulary, the way you speak, the stories you share, and then you even bump into other young people. If you get to a certain level, if you stay surface, yes, you will be not making much contact with anything. But if you understand that you're serving people, and I think it's that combination of you're making a difference in the world, plus you're indulging in your natural abilities, and then they wrestle. Many times you said, well, I want to go to the next level, but I'm missing this. So one example is our son was starting to make money off his videography. So we're fast forwarding here from our stuff. And, but one of the skills he did not have was being able to pitch in front of grown adults, because he wanted to pitch to real estate office meetings when all the staff gets together and they're always looking for something. So he was 16 at the time.
Yeah, he was only 16.
So we had a friend who nothing related to this, but was a very good salesman. I think he sold insurance.
Cold calling though.
Cold calling. He was very good at it. So he was successful.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him a few hours of lessons on how to do it in exchange for him mowing his lawn.
Okay.
He had big property. And he told him one of the things he walked away was never charge by the hour. Never charge by the hour.
Yeah.
And within a few months, he was making in fact, he recorded one of his first ones. He was making pitches in front of grown men and grown women, Chamber of Commerce, with not a blink of an eye. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I would not have been able to do it at that. But those skills that they want to add are driven by their passion to go to the next level. So it's not like he was thinking, hey, I want to become a public speaker or a salesperson. He says he's thinking, I want to get to the next level. What's my obstacle?
Yeah. How do I do that? This is my next step. Yeah.
It's amazing. And,
the beauty of them at that age is they are like a ginormous sponge.
Yes.
And if you stop treating them like a little kid and start treating them like a little adult, I've seen that so many. I mean, it's hilarious. I've watched in the incubator program. I mean, some of the most awkward, just absolutely socially inept kids that I've ever met within 1 year are out. I mean, they've gotten up and presented in front of hundreds of people doing a pitch. You know, I constantly have them coming into my office. You know, they'll reach out to me. Hey, can we come in and just have a discussion with you? We got some ideas on this business and we just want to bounce this off of you. They would never think to do that without having that opportunity. So yeah, you're right on the money. I think, if more parents did what you're doing, and I applaud you for what you're trying to do with this new business. And I mean, it may or may not make money, but it's going to help a lot of people to get farther. And it might help, we see this with the incubator program. I've had kids come in where the parents were, you're going to be a doctor and that's it. And so your only option is to be a doctor or a lawyer. And I've seen them come in and go, I love this business thing. I want to be in business, which I'm sure it didn't make the parents happy, but tough luck at that point, because you're not going to live.
What we've started to do is have workshops. We've done things online, but what we really wanted to do was just be able to meet face to face. So we've done workshops and had, seven families in the room, and we want the parents and the teens there. So we've had the parents and the teens.
Absolutely.
And then we give them like an interest worksheet. We take them through questions, and it's, what's been amazing is to see that parents will see something in the child that the child didn't think of, and vice versa. And then the child will reveal something that they're really interested in that the parent had no idea. So I think, and that has really brought up a lot of good conversations between the parents and the kids to just listen to each other. Because parents are needed to be the coaches to these kids. We were not the experts. I mean, we're passing on what we're learning, but we are not the experts. Mm-hmm. But each of our kids, in their different talents, they are way beyond what we could ever. Like, they are doing more in their interests and passions. We have no clue. We have a daughter who is a graphic artist, and it's amazing. She did not get the art. It wasn't just miraculously passed on to her, because we aren't artistic at all. But just giving them the opportunities and then coaching them and making sure that they don't make huge mistakes. I mean, it's best. That's why we like the fact that we start early. Like, age 12 is a really prime time to start thinking about it, so that by the time they're 16, they're already making money off it. And I was laughing, thinking about what you just said. Our oldest was the first one to kind of be our experiment, our guinea pig.
He really was.
So it makes the second born.
Well, and I mean, it's kind of the whole thing with having the firstborn. You can make another one, so you're going to screw the first one up. So we might as well just make you the guinea pig
through. Luckily, he kind of has that firstborn, personality. He's driven. He's all of that. And then the secondborn comes along, and I like what he's doing, but what's my thing? So that by the time you get to number six, he wants to know, well, what's my thing? They're not just like, don't bother me, I don't want to do what you guys are doing, it's dumb. They're looking at it as, well, they get to do all these cool things, but what am I good at? They're kind of coming to find, they want to find out.
What's my thing now? And Now, did you find, like, kind of going back to the family business, so to speak, did you involve them in the financials aspects
of
the business?
Yes, what we
to help them kind of understand the financials?
Actually, yes. What I would answer is when they're younger, not so much. But as they get older, we have conversations. But even when they were young, I remember when we switched, when I wasn't salaried anymore, and we go through, there are some times of the year where we get more of our sales than others. So obviously we're going to hold back on some of the expenses during the lean months. And then when the good months come in, we can be more generous. So a lot of times we'll have conversations like, hey, We have some of the younger kids put stickers, you know, simple things that they could do. And they'll play audiobooks is one of our favorite things to do. We have a whole library of audiobooks. But we would have conversations that are very natural. They would say, hey, we would like to, you know, might buy a new computer or some other thing that they're interested in. We say, you know what, that's a great idea. We would like to do that, but let's wait until we push through this sales campaign. And then at the end, we can go do X, Y, Z. And I think they've assimilated that way of thinking so deeply. In fact, more than I realized. One of my oldest kids was just telling me, who's on his own and doing well. And they look back and I think they realize how much of this was like not drilled in, like they like a sponge, they took the concept in. So they have this concept of not overspending when it's lean, but then also finding a way to spend on some of those things you do want when it's not lean. So working with the understanding that our customers, and I think we ourselves as adults, because you're trying to give your way a way for your children to navigate, your teens especially, why we have to maybe stay home this weekend to work through something and another weekend we can go. But there's, I think, a lot of respect that you teach your children regarding customers too. It's like, these are not your enemies. They're not you're just trying to serve them. Yeah, sometimes it's frustrating, but it's a very positive way of looking at life, of embracing it and working through it. And I think that's really what they took with them. When we were teens, I don't think we thought that way. It's much more waiting for the employer to discover you, whereas you're really turning right around.
Yeah. As, you know, growing up, you just, well, I want this and mom and dad will just buy it for me. Or you know, our kids are definitely, even with their skill sets and their talents, we would not just work out money, you know, just as here. They had to either work for it. But what would happen is they would want the bigger thing because they knew it would make them more efficient at what they're doing. And so even like Christmas gifts and the work they do for us or somebody else always goes right back into what they're building on their own. Like they figured that out. So if they wanted the next Mac, well, you know what the price is. How are you going to do it? Are you ready to buy it? Can you make some more sales first? Until my daughter and I just had a conversation because she's getting some publishing companies, one particular that is asking her to do some art and she wants the next big computer, but she can still function on what she has. Yeah. And there's a huge angle. Well, maybe you can do some small things until you can afford that. So you're not going to have to go out and get a loan for something. Right. So it's just little things like that, that they learn right away too, which is good. And I mean, not a necessity for us. We didn't have the money just to go at it to them. So I think they.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I think, you know, by hook or by crook, you basically did what we in my world, I created what I call the Freedom Day method, which, you know, it's an 8-step process to get somebody to that Freedom Day and beyond. And, you know, step 3 in that process is what we call retraining your brain. And so it goes from, I'm going to use a credit card or credit, you know, or I can't afford this, to retraining your brain to say, how do I afford this? What do I need to do to afford this? And perfect example there, you know, hey, I want the best and brightest, you know, Mac computer. Okay, well, sell a few pieces of art and then you'll be able to reinvest. And maybe that can take your artwork to that next level, just like your son with the camera. Okay, what do I need to do? Or the knives, what do I need to do to get to the next level? Well, I need to do this to get to that next level. So, you know, what you've done, whether you knew you were doing it or you were just kind of winging it, you've done an incredible job with this. And I think it's a wonderful model for a lot of families. I think more families need to do this. And especially for the families that are looking to, hey, you know, I want to retire early or I want to do something. Well, why not involve your family in all that? Because while you're learning it, they can learn it too. And it just puts them in a much better position when they get out of school and they're trying to figure out, well, what's my next step? Is it college? Is it a trade school? I mean, your son that is a photographer didn't necessarily need to go to college. I mean, you can go to an art school or something and really, you know, dig down into it. You know, my former business partner, his daughter, yes, she went to college, but she went to a college in New York that, you know, basically she focused just on photography from day one of college. And now she's a, you know, an amazing fashion photographer in New York because that's all she focused on. That's all she really wanted to focus on.
Yeah. I think there's a well, that's a larger question. You know, how does college come in? And then on top of that, sometimes the degrees are a little misleading because some of them are actually more like trade schools than actual colleges, right? So so that's why I think people get different mileage out of it. The other one is a lot of times I think, you know, parents feel like they might be missing out, you know, either they've been to college themselves or they wish they had. So sometimes they project that on their kids. And I just got, if you're in our age, those days are very different than when I went to school. And I've been, I was seeing what was happening with kids maybe going to art school or whatnot. And they come out and there's a lot of frustration where there's a huge disconnect with the market. So sometimes there's a big sort of drop from a big cliff where they realize no one wants their art. Because usually it's a it's the type of art and so forth. And you'll find that a lot of these schools, and I won't name particular ones, but they're focused on something that was useful at some point a generation before. And so since it's a well-traveled road, it's easy to grade, it's easy to hire people. But you find out that the market has changed so much that it's really tough. I mean, and I didn't want that to happen to my kids. So I think our motto with college is go to college if it's going to accelerate you toward your vision. Right?
Correct.
So if it's not going to accelerate you, the reality is a lot of times too, if your teens are really motivated and excited, and that depends a bit on the parents too, to create that environment, they're going to accelerate so fast. They're already doing stuff that people out of college with a doctorate degree are doing. That doesn't mean they've got, you know, experience like a grown adult, but they do have experience in that field of work that, in fact, one of our sons, he has employees and he's complained a little bit. It's like, you know, these people have college degrees, but they're almost useless. Because and I had,
they're completely useless. Well, college used to be about teaching you how to think. And now it's like, okay, we don't want you to think at all. We want you to just go, here's the one opinion, go here. And I mean, that if anything I got out of college, it was, I learned how to learn more than anything. I learned how to self-educate myself in the areas that I was interested in later. Cause I, by far do not work in either of the fields that I got a degree in. But it taught, you know, I learned how to learn. You know, I have a degree in psychology with a minor in English literature. So it's obvious I would get into finance at that point. But, you know, I mean, it's just, it's, I think it's there to teach you more, but I mean, I think so many people today don't necessarily need it. You know, I mean, I realize I could have self-educated myself better had I had the tools that I have.
And I understand that people are concerned, like, they won't learn anything. Yeah. But I think that's part of why you light it up. And I know there's, you hear this back and forth every few years, you know, you can't live off of passion. And you also, you hear you need to have real skills. Well, the truth is you need both, right? So the conundrum is, well, how do you marry passion with skills? And part of that answer is you need to start soon enough so you have a runway to make it, right? So let's say, I don't know, you choose, and arts are really obvious, but if you choose any profession, or not, I want to use the word profession. If you choose any talent that you can think of that has a value to other people, you need to reach that critical mass where people will say, you know what? I'll pay you enough, or between enough people, for you to pay your rent with a roommate, right? Once you can achieve that level, at that point, you don't give up. And that's what you see people coming out of 18, they panic, parents panic. They need to panic. You know, you need to do the double shift at McDonald's, whatever it is you need to do to put food on the table. You do need to do that. But if you, instead of doing McDonald's at whatever pay rate, you could be doing your talent at that pay rate, which means you don't lose that momentum. It's that whole, what do you call that? Compounding interest of your skill set. You don't lose that. So that's one of the, is one of the tricks to this thing, is that you don't get blown out of the race going and pursuing something else.
Well, if you've given yourself, let's say in your example, a 6-year runway of discovering your passions, getting good at the skill set. I mean, it goes back to, I can't even think of the personal development guy that came up with this, but basically if you spend an hour a day on your chosen, you know, whatever you're interested in, if you just spend 1 hour per day, every day for 5 years, you will be a recognized expert.
Malcolm Gladwell,
I think took it from, I'm just trying, I, I quote him all the time.
That's okay.
It just flew out of my brain. My friend Jim is the one who told me about this, and it was him who, yeah, he listened to this guy on the radio, and then that, you know, Nightingale.
But all that merges together. It all comes together. And if I could leave a message of hope to, especially if you're starting a business or in the middle of it, because it is tough, you might feel like, oh, I'm being left out of these other opportunities for my kids because they can't join the ski club this weekend or whatever it is. If you see your, and that's another business concept, right? That the adults will talk about, you know, the obstacle is the way. If you see these restrictions actually as an indicator as to where you need to go spend your time or what you need to do, start uncovering opportunities. I think one of the issues, especially in this overall age of abundance, even though we may feel the restrictions, is that you have so many opportunities available to you, right? You can sign up for any number of clubs after school if you're in a regular traditional setting. Great clubs. So there's nothing wrong with them per se. We were just listening to somebody telling us that they were involved in so many after clubs. They had no room for the family. They even had, I'm like, this is crazy. They're all over the place. They feel like they need to be in everything. It has no meaning to the kid or to them. And it's nutty.
And it gets only harder. I would
imagine. It only gets harder.
The kids get older.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, I've got friends. It's like, oh yeah. Well, you know, they're in, you know, this like elite level of baseball and all this, and the kids, yeah, they've got some talent, but they're not, you know, a kid who's, you know, okay, he's almost 14 or 15, and he's like maybe 5'8" and 135 pounds. You're not going to be a professional baseball player. I'm sorry. I give you a reality check. It ain't going to happen unless you grow another, you know, foot before then and put on a couple hundred pounds. Yeah, you're probably not going to be there. You're not going to be a football player and all that. So figure out what makes you happy and all that, and stop worrying about, oh, well, they've got to be in all this elite stuff and we've got to travel all over the world to do it. It's just nutso. So, well, let's transition to the fast five questions and find out your answers.
All right, bring it on.
So, all right. So question number one. You wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, laptop, computer, place to live, food and clothing. What do you do first?
Why don't you take that one, Renee?
At this point, if it can be now and not 15 years ago, it's going to be a lot easier. we have our 6 grown children that are out of children. They're kids. They're adults now, out of the house. We could easily now tap into any one of them and say, hey, what can we do to help you and your businesses or your families? We have a we have a 5-month-old grandson. I would be willing to just, I'll move in and babysit all day long so you guys can get your business going. No problem. But I think we would tap into each of the kids to see what we could do now that we'd have all this free time. Jonathan's really good at project management. In fact, I think our kids have really...
Yeah, but you're missing out. She's a queen of email marketing. If you have any business, obviously.
Okay, I do work. I know. I see what you're saying. Okay, offer services. Like, so I enjoy email marketing a lot, and I would probably first start with my kids because they're the easiest to tap into, and they're already successful. They don't have debt. They don't have, you know, they're able to live on their own. I would go to them and say, you know, you all should have an email list with whatever you're doing. So I would convince them that they could let me start their list for them and make money off of it till we figure it out.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. Love it. Love it. All right. So what's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
I think it's when we depended too much on coaches. So I'm talking about business coaches, legitimate coaches. And I think because whereas they may have been good in their area, a lot of time they were focused on bigger corporate type work, like people with lots of people or people who were willing to leverage their future. And where we have lots of kids, I'm like, sometimes some of the ideas that we're giving, because we knew people who actually used them too, and they were, we felt that was not our lifestyle. They could lose everything if it didn't work out. Like, it would be a huge fall down to earth. And we weren't willing to do that. So the advice we got a lot of times was not appropriate to our family lifestyle.
Or it was just, we maybe should have quit sooner.
With them. We extracted what we needed.
time to move on. So some of them were good for the time we used them. And then
they weren't disastrous, but they were.
Because we didn't, I think we tend to be really, well, we had a lot of kids. We couldn't take too many big risks. So I guess maybe that kept us from having any big, huge business loss. Because, you know, we have been careful.
Well, you played it a little closer to the vest because you had to. And you didn't have an alternative paycheck coming
in. Nobody was going to hand us.
That could cover it if you made a big
tell our kids, take those risks now.
Yeah.
We're still cute. People, you sleep on their couch, but we can't do that.
I don't have that option. So, there was 90-year mouths there that needed to be fed. What's a good book that y'all
recommend? Let me see. This one. Read it many times. It's probably flipped on the screen.
So it says
Family Fortunes, and it's written by Bill Bonner and his son. And Family Fortunes tracks the rise and the fall of families who are successful and sort of gives the diagnosis as to why a lot of times you get this riches to rags effect, and then showing how some people are not doing that. They're actually maintaining it and giving very specific concrete how-tos. And I found that very inspirational for us. And we, whereas they became very wealthy and they started early. So it gave us a lot of emotional, it was a nice way to summarize in very clear terms what we're trying to do with our family. So that influences how we directed our own kids.
I love it. What's a tool that y'all use in your business that you might recommend to our audience?
You got one?
Yours is more interesting, actually. I'm going to throw two out there that I use a lot. One is Canva, and I know a lot of people, small business owners use Canva. I use it all the time.
I spend way too much time in Canva.
And then you
Canva.
Get creative
That's
and
problem.
See all these other features, and then you spend way too much time on it. And then I know a lot of people would say ChatGPT, and I'm the same way, but I really feel like it's with the email marketing side, I feel like I have trained my ChatGPT to be a really good helper. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think people understand that. I mean, you know, people, I'll hear this all the time. Oh, well, you know, I don't want it to sound fake and all that stuff. Well,
the more time you spend. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, mine now, it's hilarious because my ChatGPT, since they took the guardrails down between the different chats, now I don't have to like retrain it every time that I'm in something. So, you know, I was just literally right before I got in here with you guys, I made a commitment a week and a half ago that I was going to publish something unique every single day on LinkedIn. I'm for 60 days straight. I'm publishing something unique every single day. And so I was like, crap, I'm never going to get this thing done before today. And I have a list of topics that I came up with ChatGPT, and literally I went in there and I'm like, okay, I need to, this is what I need to create for right now. And you know, immediately it comes up. Okay. So you want this, do you want this in Jeff Kickel style or do you want it a different way? And I'm like, Jeff Kickel style, baby, come on, let's go. And boom, bang, pop the thing out, posted it on LinkedIn in 5 minutes.
Beautiful.
And
that's
it's off
the best
to the races.
Part. Yeah.
So, but I mean, oh yeah, well, it writes as well as I can at that point. So it, you know, it's my thoughts, it's my concepts and all that. So yeah, it's a good tool if you use it as a tool and not just trying, you know, oh, this makes my life easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in there to get to Jeff Kickel style.
Well, my son just told me, he said, Mom, by the way, don't forget to tell it to save it to long-term memory or something like that. And I didn't know that was a thing. So I had said that after.
That's a new one for me.
And so on one of them, I said, oh, by the way, especially when it was a long chat. I mean, we were going back and forth and back and forth. And said, oh, by the way, make sure you put this in the long-term memory and something like that, whatever my son told me to say. And I said, oh, yeah, no, I got you. It's always like that or whatever it was. It just talks right back.
Yeah.
And I just, it can't serve you coffee.
I know. It's a conversation. Yeah. But it does all the other stuff for me, which makes my life easier. Yeah. Now I've been playing with deep research mode, which is the coolest thing since sliced bread.
Nice. Let's check that out.
It used to be. So what happened before is you had to tell it to think deeply. And now they've put a little button down below inside the little chat window. It says deep research. Okay. Do that and have it do like research for you. It's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. I mean, I just wrote an article on LinkedIn.
Does it come back with the citing the sources? Because I have seen that pop up.
It cites the sources. It gives you specific links in the document it creates, where it takes you to that specific spot on the internet, which it used to be terrible at. It does all that stuff now. So, you know, just one more thing. I mean, but I didn't. Yeah, I think it automatically does the long-term.
Yeah, now I think you may only have to say it once and it knows because it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just says, oh, OK,
at least at the pay level.
And pretty much anything until you tell it not to do it, it will keep doing the same thing I've discovered. So. Great. Last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
Let's see. It's being able to make the sacrifices, knowing that it's going to pay off. I think that when I was in a corporate job, again, it was a happy corporate job. It wasn't bad.
Well,
but
yeah,
no,
you didn't hate it.
A lot of times you feel like, well, if I quit this, I can't, if I make any mistake, you know, I might drop out of this rat race and not be able to get the benefits, the health benefits, the whatever other benefits, social benefits, the pleasure of saying, oh, I'm a project manager, and people nodding and understanding, telling them after what we did, it was like blank stare.
We bought the domain. We had a lotionguy.com for a week.
Yeah.
So I can have some dignity.
That one. But I think having the feeling like you can make that sacrifice and make it pay off. So there are some things we did sacrifice. So they were, I mean, yeah, we would have liked to have done some of these other things, but it was worth doing, you know, letting go of it in order to get like what we really wanted was our family, a particular family life, which we enjoyed. We didn't want to go back to the city, a bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. And we knew by doing this sacrifice, it had a meaning. Whereas a lot of times when you are in a job, you may be getting the money, but you don't feel like you're free. You feel like you can't make the sacrifice without it completely blowing you out of the
giving up all the stuff that you have, which with I always love the blind loyalty to a company that immediately will just lay you off. So they don't care about you as much as you care about them, but it's fun. But yeah, I mean, and you've found your freedom. I mean, it may not be financially all there yet, but you found your freedom from the perspective of being able to educate your family the right way and everything else. So I applaud you for that. And I hope folks really take a lot out of this. If people are interested in learning a little bit about you, what's the best place to go?
They can go to the website, parenttheirpassion.com, parenttheirpassion.com, or you can email me directly. I always check my email, jonathan@parenttheirpassion.com. It's pretty straightforward.
And we take parents through. There's a sign up. You can just get a download that you can work through with your kids on how to identify. So again, like the ideal age is 12, but 12 to 16, we've had 40-year-olds ask if they can take it.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the business that puts the food on the table, that was a big turning point for us, is hardlotion.com. Hardlotion.com.
Very cool.
You'll see our stuff on there.
Perfect. Well, we'll put both of those down in the show notes. Thank you all for both coming on here. It was a pleasure to have you on. Folks, make sure you reach out to them, check out their stuff. If you've got dry skin, you know where to go to fix that. And if you want to help build a business with your family or build your kids' your passions, you know where to go with that as well. So thanks a lot. We'll see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.